So when are we going to, like, where are we starting the recording at? Is this, like, part of the podcast?
All right, so we're starting the injured reserve. We got Tyler, is it Kaplan or Capellan? How do you say your last name?
Either way, like growing up, I got both. So I got Kaplan from like family and then Capellan from all coaches. So either
way. There we go. PT extraordinaire, computer guy extraordinaire. I did some research on you. So I got a bunch of questions and then we'll see how you answer them.
All right. Don't trick me with anything. No traps.
I will not. Like there's no traps, nothing crazy. So first, what was it like growing up in Warwick, New York? That's where you're from, right?
Yeah. Warwick was awesome, man. Like, do you want the long answer or the short answer?
Give me the long answer. Give me the 15-minute answer.
All right. So Warwick was cool. I originally was born in Manhattan, and then we lived in a place called Yonkers. So I lived in Yonkers until I was about 4 years old, and it was a bad area. So my parents got us out of there after there was a shooting, actually. So they're like, all right, yeah. So
like a shooting kids, next to you, or
so in a shooting. The area? So this, I was four, but my brother and my cousin hung out with these kids. The kids hung out with people who did drugs and whatnot, sold drugs, whatever. One day, my brother and my cousin were hanging out. Kids got in trouble. A shooting happened. My brother and my cousin made it out, thankfully fine. Like six of their friends ended up going to jail. So my parents are like, all right, we're done. So
yeah, good sign.
Yeah, like legit, maybe 2 months after that, we were already packed up and moving. So
wow.
Yeah, so my parents found a house up in Warwick. You've been there. And it was awesome, man. The thing is, you go from being in the city to being in the suburbs. So growing up was cool. There was a lot of things to do, a lot of sports. But as you might have known in Englewood, like for me in my area, there was five black kids in school.
Oh yeah.
So it was a little weird. Like my first grade class had one other kid. So like, other than like the occasional jokes and stuff, it was awesome. Everyone was really cool. I never had any like a-holes around me or anything like that, but you always felt different growing up a little bit.
So. I mean, so people who don't know, Warwick is like an hour and a half north of New York City. Mm-hmm. How did your parents choose Warwick out of,
They were looking around in a lot of different areas. There's like six surrounding towns, and they just looked for houses. They had houses in like two other towns, but both of those fell through, and this was the one that they loved. Like, it had a backyard, it was nice, it was quiet, it was so quiet. Like, going from where I used to live to Warwick, dude, it's like, you can actually hear birds, you could see stars, like, all that
stuff. There's animals outside, birds chirping.
Yeah, there's bears, like, deer. I hit a deer 2 minutes away from my house, but that's a...
You hit a deer?
I hit a deer one, like, my first winter back from college, I was driving down the highway because I lived right off a highway, and this deer, like, it wasn't like it was walking across, it jumped, landed in front of my car, I hit it, and then it was trying to jump away, and it just flew off the road, and it tore my car. Yeah.
Did the deer die? Do you know? Or is it,
I don't know.
Hurt?
It was like 10 o'clock at night. So it landed in the bushes, and I didn't know what to do, so I just went home.
And, that's got to be so scary. Dude, you're just driving, cruising, and out of nowhere, bang, tears on your windshield.
Yep, I crushed it. My car was jacked up for a little bit. But, yeah, that was it was awesome, though. Wow. But,
go ahead.
Yeah, keep going, go.
So for people who don't know, I went to Warwick maybe a couple months ago. And driving around, there was a lot of deer, which I was kind of surprised. But yeah, I could see you hitting a deer for sure. And there's the sharp turns and all this other stuff. It was
a lot of blind turns, a lot of high brush on the sides of the roads. Like, it's the legit suburbs. So like, stuff is just hiding. Like, you never know. You have to actually, if you're not used to driving up there, you're probably gonna get in an accident because you have to know like what to look out for.
You're probably gonna get in an accident. Oh God. All right. Next question. So how did you know you wanted to become a physical therapist?
I didn't. Nice. So like in high school, I was really good at science. I loved science. I still do. So I was going to do engineering because I loved physics. It was the best science. But then one day I was in physics class and I was just doing equations. And I was like, I don't know if I could do this for the rest of my life. So I went into college not knowing what I wanted to do. I chose pre-pharmacy is what I was going to do. And then I had heard bad things about the career just from friends who were friends with pharmacists. So I ended up going to psychology. That was my major when I graduated. And I had no idea what I was going to do. And I played sports my whole life. So I was like, all right, maybe I could do something where I work with athletes. And I had some trash physical therapy. Like I had been injured a lot in high school during playing sports. And it's kind of why I didn't get to the level. I wanted to do sports in college, but I didn't get there. And I realized after being in the program, I realized a lot of my therapists were not the greatest therapists. So I wanted to do that, but I wanted to make sure that I was giving the kind of help that kids needed. And then having my degree in psychology, I wanted to actually branch off and do a type of physical therapy with psychology incorporated. So I was going to get a sports psychology degree as well. Mm-hmm. And then that way, like kids who have like performance anxiety, kids who, like for me, I was an amazing athlete, not like tooting my own horn, but I was above average. I was an above average athlete. But when I got on the field, I wasn't doing the things I knew I could do. And I didn't know why. And once I got a little older, I got my confidence. I realized I was just in my own head, but I didn't know I was in my own head. So that's why you have professional athletes who can't hit a free throw or kickers who are shanking kicks 1 week. So now all these teams have sports psychologists.
Yeah, that's a big thing now. Like
it's a very big
mental
thing.
Coaches and like performance mental health coaches who get them in the right mindset before games.
Exactly. Yeah. So I wanted to get a degree in that, and I actually almost went to school for it, but I didn't want to go to school in Massachusetts, so I turned it down. And then I fell into physical therapy, and I still love it, but I still want to kind of blend that sports psychology into it too.
I was going to say, is that a goal for the future to do more of the psychology, physical therapy, sport route?
Yeah, I just have to figure out how I'm going to work it in. It's not like, you know, it's hard to find niches because you're in the career too. It's hard to find something someone else isn't doing, and it's hard to like find the evidence that it works. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out how I can work it in without looking like I'm like shamming people.
Yeah. Like you don't know what you're doing, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I'm assuming other people who are in the field probably aren't physical therapists. They're more psychologists or mental health people who go into the sports realm.
Exactly.
Which I guess so it'd be an easier transition than the other way around.
Yep. So the year before I went into PT school, I was a resident assistant at Stony Brook, and my old resident director left and he went to Springfield University where I guess basketball was created. That's what they tell
everyone. Wow. That's in Indiana?
No, that's in Massachusetts.
Oh, shoot.
So either that's not, I think Indiana is where basketball was created. I think maybe something about the Basketball Hall of Fame. They care a lot about basketball in Springfield. Yeah. I forget why. So my resident director called me up and he said, look, I want you to be, he had moved higher up in the chain and he called me one day and said, I need a new resident director. I want you to do it. They'll pay for your master's. So I looked at their list of master's degrees and sports psychology was one of them. And I was like, all right, I'll do this. Oh, so shit. I go in, I nail the interview. I do great. And then I realize I don't really want to live in Massachusetts. I want to do more winters. Like 2 years would be awesome, but like, what am I going to do after that? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to turn it down for now and see what else comes. And then later on that year, I applied for PT school and then I get into FGCU. So then I just go that route.
There you go. Wow. So speaking of goals, I did some research on your Twitter. And I have, I'm good. I should be a researcher. I'm good. So what you have is a list of goals that you're wanting to attain. The first one's to get a doctorate, which you checked off. Nice. Got your doctorate in physical therapy.
Yes.
The next one is get married, which you are engaged
next
now.
Next year. Yes, next year.
Then you got own a Tesla.
That's coming. Yes.
Got become a Twitch partner.
Yes.
Get on the... Hold on, I'm going to go through the whole list and then...
Go. Okay. Sorry, because I know...
My bad. No, you're good. The next one is become a Twitch partner, then get on The Price is Right, and then the last one is beat Xavier Woods PhD in Best 3 of 5 Random Game Series. All right, so the question is, which one, I guess besides get married, are you the closest to attaining, and then how did you come up with this list? Etc.
Okay. The closest I'm getting to attaining has to be by default getting a Tesla, other than getting married. And I'll explain why. So, becoming a Twitch partner. So I know in your past podcast, you had Vince Casey on, and he explained what becoming a Twitch affiliate is getting like 50 people on, getting a certain amount of views, etc., etc. So I also stream on Twitch, and the next stage after affiliate is Twitch partner. To get a Twitch partner, you have to have 70, at least, I believe, I could be wrong about these numbers, I didn't look this up right away, but I think 75 concurrent viewers on average. So to get affiliate, you just have to have 50 people say, I like you, and then that's it. They click like, and then once you get 50 and you do a few other things, you become an affiliate. To be a partner, you have to average within a rolling 30 days 75 people watching you. So that's not people that like you, that's people who tune in, and at least 75 are watching you over 30 days each time. That's hard. My cap at one point was 20 people who came in for about 2 to 3 weeks watch me. I've dropped down a little bit. But it's 75 and then a few other things after that. But the hardest part is the 75. I've actually completed everything else except the 75. So that's just where growing your audience is. So I'm closest to that because I do not have the money for a Tesla right now since I'm getting married next year. So I'm pretty far off from that. I'm actually closer to the Tesla than I am the 75 views. Because I've dropped down, like I said, I've dropped down a little bit just because things change. As you're playing, you change the games that you play and people have different interests and it's just hard to get those eyes on you. So that's why I also have a YouTube now. I'm trying to bring in more eyes through different avenues.
There you go. So a Tesla, they're becoming a little bit cheaper, I guess. I'm like a couple years ago, like 90,000 for a Model S, but now they have the Model 3s. Which are around 30,000-ish, give or take. So
exactly. So the hard part is in Florida, we don't get tax breaks. So if we're in New York, where I originally wanted to get one, people were getting like $10,000 back for buying a Tesla.
Dang. Down here,
you don't get any of that. So you're just pretty much buying it straight up. And so after taxes, it'd be like 40-ish thousand, 43,000 to get a Model 3, which is what I'm going for.
There you go. So,
yeah, it's just that part is just hard work. I mean, I guess all of those are hard work.
Yeah, but I guess that's why you write it down, you know, to kind of speak into existence. I mean, that's how you get
what
it.
I'm going for. You know? That's how I've done everything. But the second half of your question, how I made up the list. So I was bored one day and I was just thinking of things that I really want to do. And I'm like, these are things that are important to me. So getting my doctorate was important. I like the fact that I can be called doctor and that I've done something. The getting married is just important. I love Alyssa. I'm glad that we're able to share that. Getting a Tesla, that's just a me thing. I love the idea of an electric car and I just like the company and everything they do. So I wanted that and I wanted to work towards that. The Twitch thing, I've always loved video games and working towards that stuff. So I just wanted to be able to share something with people. So this is just my way of trying to share something that I love with other people. The Price is Right, I've had an obsession with game shows since I was a child. Well, it showed me a kid in the 90s who didn't watch game shows when they were sick.
Best part of missing school is watching all the game shows at like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, if you had a TV, you were watching a game show. So I grew up watching The Price is Right, Wheel of Fortune, Supermarket Sweep, which just came back and I'm hype. Just all those game shows. Like, I watch game shows like crazy. So for me to be able to get on The Price is Right and stand next to Drew Carey and win, like, I just want to spin the wheel. Just let me spin the wheel. Yeah, I would lose my mind. Like, I'm normally, you know me from work, I'm normally like a quiet guy. I would lose my mind.
Would you have like a pre-planned dance, or what would you do when they called your name? You got to stand up, you got to do something crazy, and then you got to run down. Yeah. Like, do you have an orchestrated thing that you're going to do?
No, because I never even thought of it. Like,
Thought of it. It's on your goal list. You got to be like, you got to do this kind of gang sign. Yeah. You got to wear, what kind of shirt are you going to wear? That's the whole thing.
No gang sign, a shirt probably promoting me. Dance, like, maybe I would just shimmy my way down a little bit. Yeah, a little shimmy.
And then the next thing is, are you going to high five everyone else, all the other contestants on the bottom?
Oh, yeah.
Are you just going to go to your spot and be like, all right, I'm kicking ass. Fuck all y'all. Or are you going to high five everybody?
So half of me wants to do both. Like, I want to be like the quiet storm that just walks up, kills everything. They're like, damn. But you're on TV. You gotta
give something. Nice. Plus, yeah, you can have like your Twitch name on your shirt too for promotion. Yeah. You got to be nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to high five. I might make a lap. I'll high five everyone up and down the aisles, but they'll probably tell me to sit my ass down if I tried that.
There you go. Are you good at The Price is Right? Like, when you're watching, are you good with getting the prices and the games?
I'm good with numbers. So I feel like with some hard studying, at first I have to figure out if they're doing like East Coast, West Coast prices. Like, I've thought this through. So figure out what kind of prices they're doing. Then watch a few episodes just to see what kind of products they do. Like, and by a few, I mean like a lot. And because there's no knowing what games you're going to get. And then get familiar with the games. Like, I know they have like the mini golf putt-putt game. They have like just random guest games. They have the higher or lower game. Like, get familiar with those games. And then the hardest part is the show. Like, the wheel is all luck. Like, spinning the wheel.
Yeah.
I don't care how many people you watch. It's luck. But the showcase, that's trying to be hard.
Showcase, showdown.
You know, they give you like, they're like, all right, here's an RV, a vacation, like a pair of sunglasses. Yeah. How much is all of it? And you're like, what? So that I don't even know how you prepare for that one. But yeah, figure out how they're basing their prices, and then just going and just studying like supermarkets. Because if you ask me prices right now of like computer parts, video game parts, accessories, I know for the most part I could give you within like $10, $20.
Yeah.
So if I just expand that to like food and stuff, I feel like I'd be okay.
Yeah. Hopefully there's a good amount of time between when you get selected to play and then when you actually go on. So you have some time to train and practice. Maybe there's like a Price is Right training camp you could go to in the meantime where they train you on the games and the prices of things. That's a good idea.
Think of that. That's if it doesn't exist, that should exist.
That should be right. Like, okay, like it's a guy online who's like, hey, I heard you just got on The Price is Right. Come to my training camp. It's a 2-week program. We'll get you ready to go. Guaranteed to get you like top three or something like that. Yeah. You know?
So funny game show story. One of my friends, his exes made it onto Wheel of Fortune, I think it was. And this was after they broke up. So instead of like wishing good for her, he was watching, drinking, just hoping she would bomb, and she ended up bombing. But but yeah, it was terrible. Like, I mean, I'm not a vindictive person, but it was his ex or whatever. But yeah, she ended up getting, just to know someone who got on the Wheel of Fortune. Yep. Speaking of someone who didn't bomb, one of my professors, Wilbur, I love you, dude. He got on Jeopardy.
What?
And the man killed it. He was my English professor got on Jeopardy. He was killing it. And then he gets to the final Jeopardy and they ask what the one of the highest selling albums of like either all time or resurgence was. Yeah. And the answer was the Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts. It's a long name band, the Lonely Hearts Club album. He knew the answer, but he only got out Sgt. Pepper's and the Lonely or Sgt. Pepper's and they go through, the first guy gets it right, but only bet like $100. Second person gets it right, only bet like $0. He bet everything, doubled up.
Because he knew it.
They said, "Aunt, we can't accept Sgt. Pepper's and the Lonely or whatever." And he lost on that.
He lost all of his money and lost the whole game?
He lost the whole game because he didn't finish writing out Sgt. Pepper and the Lonely Hearts.
He just didn't have the time?
He didn't have the time. Yeah.
I would not come back to school if that was like,
I was heartbroken.
Dang, that's so sad. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it live. I went back and I watched it, though.
Dang. That's got to be surreal watching someone you know on the show like that.
Oh, yeah. And he deserved it. That man, he was one of the – there's always these things online about, like, yo, how old were you when you had your first black teacher or something like that? I don't know if you've ever seen that. Mm-hmm. But he was one of two black English professors that I had. That I've ever seen, to be honest, like black male English professors. And he made that class amazing. It was called Rhetorics of the Hero. And we watched like movies. We did all this stuff where we just like wrote things about like what it meant to be a hero, good versus evil. My final thesis was on like a cartoon show and a movie or something like that. And it was awesome. That's badass. English class. Yeah. It made English class awesome.
Yeah.
So it was cool. And I got really sidetracked. My bad, dude.
No, you're good.
the final point, the final one, beat Xavier Woods in the 3 out of 5. So there's a wrestler. I'm a big pro wrestling fan. His name is Xavier Woods in wrestling, or Austin Creed when he plays video games. He actually just got the spot as the host of G4. I don't know if you know G4, but it's like a video game.
Like G4 TV?
Yeah, G4 TV. He's going to be the new host of G4 TV. So I've been watching him play watching him wrestle for the last like 7 years or so. And the dude grew up exactly like me. Like, he's maybe 5 years older, but loved cartoons, loved video games. Everything I love, we love the same stuff. And he ended up getting on Twitch through wrestling. He ended up making his own YouTube. He's just made like his small little empire. I'm actually wearing right now, you can't just see, but this shirt, he's this dude
shit.
Right here on the trombone. This is his,
oh, really?
His wrestling shirt. Yeah.
He's a wrestler, like a WWE wrestler?
Yes, he's a, this is his, this is a New Day shirt. So he's the dude. Yep. So he's the dude with the trombone. So one day I was like, you know what? The epitome of me knowing I made it and everything I want to do is for him to recognize me. So that's why my final one, the one that kind of means
the last one.
Yeah. Is if I make Twitch partner, I have something to bring to the table. I'm going to try to challenge him. And I think I could beat him in 3 out of 5. 3 and 5 random video games. Like, his thing on Twitch is that, like, he has a tournament where he has other wrestlers play random games to prove that they're, like, the best overall gamer. So I would have 5 random games, and I think I could beat him best 3 out of 5. And the funny thing is, later on in that tweet, the pinned tweet that you got that from, he actually responded.
What?
Like, yeah. If you go back to the tweet, he responded with the Beyonce picture saying, like, follow your dreams or something like that.
Dang, that's kind of cool.
So he noticed the tweet. So I don't know how I'm going to keep getting his attention, because he definitely forgot by now.
2030, we're going to find him after you're, like, Twitch famous and everything. Like, yo, let's do this.
2030? No, man. Sooner than that. Like, 2022.
Let's go.
2022.
I'm 2022. Here for it.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep getting his attention, but that's a final check mark.
That's badass. That's actually wild, because when you brought up their black teacher thing, I was thinking about it, and I don't think I've ever had a black teacher.
What?
In
ever?
My entire life. Yeah, I'm thinking of elementary school, definitely not. Because like you, I grew up in a town where I think like my family was like one of 2 or 3 black families in the whole town.
Yeah.
So definitely not in middle school. In high school, there was maybe one black teacher, but I didn't have him for any classes.
Yeah.
And then college, I think the first black teacher I had was my CI, like in PT school. Like my
Seriously,
first.
That long?
I think so.
So like in elementary school, I think there weren't any for me. In middle school, there was probably 1 or 2 that I'd seen around, but I never had. And then in high school, I think my English professor was the first like full-time, not substitute, not like a just there for 1 year tryout, like tenured black teacher.
Yeah.
And I mean, like you said, that's how it is in those. I don't how, like, how was it for you growing up where you were as like one of 2 black families? Cause I was the same.
It wasn't great. I mean, you were in New York, I'm in Florida. So it's like the South, I guess. So there was, I mean, I personally didn't have a lot of any like racist issues per se, or not anything crazy. Maybe like a comment here or there.
Yeah.
But I do know some people who had like a lot of issues. Like I know, I didn't want to say some of the stuff on the podcast. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, just some like racist stuff that you'd, I guess, assume would happen in a town full of, you know, like no black people, you know, and you're in the South too.
Yeah. And you might've actually had it harder because you're in the South, and it just sucks. Cause I know for me, like, this is you're already a minority, but being a small minority in an area like that, like, you have to learn to present yourself away. Like, I don't know if you did it, but I actively was much more nicer and vibrant growing up. Like,
you have to go out of your way to be nice, because people already have the preconceived notion that, oh, you're a black kid, you're probably into some trouble. Exactly. Or you're probably mean or something. So it's like, okay, I need to be extra nice just to be a regular baseline of where everyone else is.
Exactly. And it was like that because the black kids where I grew up actually were doing stupid shit for no reason. Like, it was dumb, but they were doing bad stuff and they were setting that example. So I had to I didn't really hang out. Like, I hung out with a few of them, obviously, because you don't not hang out with someone just because of something like that. But if I saw people were doing the wrong thing, I was out. Like, I wasn't trying to stay around for that because I knew what I wanted to do. I knew where I was coming from. Like, these kids are growing up, and I was 4 years old when I heard of my first shootout. Like, I don't want to be in that life. So I knew where I was trying to end up. So I just made sure I just stayed on that path.
Yeah. And that's awesome. That's really good. And being from Englewood isn't like that. It's not dangerous at all. It's pretty safe. Mm-hmm. And there's not like shootings or anything like that. So there wasn't that side of it, mm-hmm. but yeah, definitely. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't want this to get dark.
Gosh, it got dark real quick.
Real fast.
I had another question. Let me see. Let me go back to my question list. But where were we at? Let's see. So one of your goals is to be married. And I asked Glenn this question a couple days ago. How did you and your fiance meet?
Very first time we met was fourth grade. So no, fifth grade. Fifth grade. So we went to elementary school together. She moved up to Warwick like 3 or 4 years after I did. So we met in fifth grade because we had mutual friends, and then we knew each other all through middle school. We were like friends. We were acquaintances and friends. And then in high school, we had the same like small friend group. So from like freshman, sophomore year on, we had the same like three best friends. And then senior year, there was a core like four of us, like a core four, maybe five of us that just were always together. And she was one of them. And we were just always good friends. And then we started dating freshman year of college.
Oh, shoot. So hold on. I got some questions. So how did you go from friends to dating? Like, how did that transition happen?
So we always just came in. We were always in contact, and she went to college an hour away from me. So when our friends would get back together, we would hang out and stuff like that. So we would just hang out, and then we always felt something, I guess. So then it just happened one night. So it was cool.
It was like a natural kind of transition?
Yeah. It wasn't awkward by any means, I don't think.
And then how did it go from, like, how did you know she was the one you wanted to marry?
I mean, that's something that just grows. Like, that's something, I guess, some people are just like, oh, I knew the moment I woke up. And it's not.
The moment I woke up.
Yeah.
I woke up one day and I just knew it.
Yeah. Or like, I saw her and I just knew it. Like, that's not how life always is. Like, over time, you spend time with someone and you see what their ideas are and their ideals are and what they want out of life. And when those things line up, you realize, all right, this is someone that I can trust and spend my life with. And I trust her with everything, and I could trust her with a family. So that's how I knew.
Damn, like, that's deep.
It's just something that comes over time. Like, it's not like a book or a movie or anything like that. It's just effort. So,
and I know you asked her at the beach to be yes. your fiance, get married, yes. whatever. So, how did that whole thing go down?
So it was June, and I was figuring out how I wanted to do it. COVID happened, so there was no traveling, none of that. So I had to figure out something that I thought she would like, that I thought would be important. So we went to a beach nearby, and actually it didn't happen like that. So a week beforehand, I went to a beach nearby and I scoped out the beach and I found an area that I thought would work. So then I took my drone and I flew it around, and I saw some good things. And this is a beach we'd been to before. So then the day of, I left work early, and then I went to the beach about an hour or two early. I set up a blackboard inside of the bushes, and then I got some lights and I strung up lights around it and stuff like that. And then I got her mom there, and I got two of our friends there, Whitney and Katie. So I told Alyssa that, because Alyssa and I used to do photography. So I told her that Katie wanted us to do a wedding photo shoot for her and Jake, her husband. So she thought we were going to do a photo shoot for her and Jake. And I said, wear something nice, because she's going to want us in some of the photos. Because
look at this guy. Sneaky.
So she was like, all right, cool. So she wore something nice. So we go, and then I flew the drone, and I had the drone following us. Just dang. I was like, yeah, I'm scoping out the area. So we did that, and then we got to the area, and she saw the board, and then she saw her mom in the bushes, and she was like, what are you doing? I walked over to the board, and then the board said, will you marry me on it? And
what?
Then, yeah. So I got down on a knee, I did the whole thing, and then literally, so the board had been up there for about an hour, because I had to drive from the beach to my apartment and then back. So in that time, a bunch of people had seen it. So people started like hanging out around it to see what was up. So after I finished proposing, like 30 people start clapping and everything. And then like there was a guy who was walking by doing photography, and he took some of our pictures and stuff. And
what?
He's like, are all these people in on it? I was like, I don't know who these people are.
So that is so crazy. That's awesome. Yeah.
It was really cool.
I love how she's like walking by like, mom, what are you doing in the bushes over there?
Yeah, it was hilarious, man. It was perfect.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, I saw the pics too. The pics look really cool. It's a really cool setup and everything. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
I always love hearing stories like that, because it takes a lot of work, and it's probably so nerve-wracking because you've been dating forever and you still like, it's still nervous. Even if you know what she's going to say yes, it's still like nervous to make it like a good moment mm-hmm. that's going to last forever.
Yeah, I just wanted it to be something that she'd remember and something important, because it's something she's been looking forward to. For me, I wasn't nervous because of doing it. I was nervous more so because I knew how impatient she was getting about it. So I just wanted it to be something that she'd be happy with.
Oh, shit. That's sick. All right. I have a quote for you. I'm going to read the quote, and then I want you to tell me what it means to you.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Mm-hmm. You have to be a bit of a liar to tell a story right. What does that mean?
I read a lot of books, and it means that you could have a great story, right? But if you don't embellish a little bit, that story is not going to mean much to other people, or it's not going to draw the eyes or pay attention to. So if I remember right, that quote is from a book about a storyteller. Can I look it up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I look Shoot. It up? So, but yeah, okay, before I look it up, what the quote means to me. So you have to be a bit of a liar to tell a story the right way. You can, if you tell a story, like think of something that happens to you that's hilarious to you, right? Mm-hmm. When you tell other people, have you ever gotten that expression where there's just like, okay, and?
Yeah, like, okay, and, whatever. And it's like, you have to be there. So in order for me to make the event, yes. like you had to be there, I have to... Yeah. Exaggerate a little bit.
Exactly. So, and that's what it means to me, is like to be a good storyteller, to tell a good convincing story, telling it with just the facts isn't gonna convey that story. So you just have to be a little bit of a liar. But let's see.
Sprinkle a little fake news on it a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yes. So let's see, where is that from? Patrick Rothfuss. Yes. So That quote is from a book, The Name of the Wind. It's actually one of my obsessions. Like, I don't have a lot of things that I have a few things. Like, people have sports, people have whatever. I have books, movies, and video games. And this book is, I read it once, and I've read the book series 4 times.
What? Already. What's it called? I'm going to look it up.
The Name of the Wind.
It's a series? How many books are there?
So far, 2. And then the third one is supposed to be out either this year or next year.
Give me a Tyler Kaplan synopsis of the books.
All right. This kid is... It's not like this world. It's a fictional book. So this kid is born into a family of what would be the equivalent of like a traveling circus. His dad is the leader of this like traveling circus, and he's great with instruments. His mom's an amazing singer. She used to be a princess. She was in line for a throne, and then she ran away to be with the circus because she loved the dad. One day something tragic happens. The kid ends up alone. So he wants to figure out who did this tragic thing to his family. So he goes to what they call a university. In the university, he learns something. It's not magic, but it's like magic where they can control elements. Like it's called The Name of the Wind because he's searching for the name of the wind. You could speak the name of the wind and the wind will do what you ask it to. You could speak the name of fire and fire won't burn you. So it's him trying to figure out who did this thing to his family and getting revenge on his family. But through that, you're getting his adventure to the university. And that journey is amazing because this guy is a brilliant genius. Like, he's got photographic memory. He's amazing with instruments. He's great at science. You tell him something once and he just picks it up. Mm-hmm. But he's also hot-headed. He's very quick. His temper is so bad, it gets him in trouble. Just all these things. So he's not the perfect character, and that's what I love, is that he's like this. He's got all the things to be perfect, but he's not perfect because he's human like we are.
Shoot, that sounds like it'd be a good movie. Is it a movie yet?
So Lin-Manuel, who did Hamilton, mm-hmm. he's helping to make, they're doing a TV series for it, and they got him on board with it because the book is so music heavy that they wanted him to be one of the works.
Dang.
On
it. So is it going to be like a Netflix show? Or?
I think HBO picked it up.
Oh, sick. What's the name of the second book?
So the first book is The Name of the Wind. The second book is A Wise Man's Fear.
Mm-hmm.
So another good quote, something I think you would like because you're kind of a quiet guy like I am at times. But from that book, a good quote is, there are three things all wise men fear. A moonless night, the sea at storm, and the anger of a quiet man.
Oh, shoot. That's deep.
Yes. Yeah.
That should have slapped right in the face. That's good. That's good. So I just downloaded the books on like the sample of the books. I'm gonna check it out. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna see if it's
I recommend it to everyone. Alyssa hates it because the minute I hear someone say I like a book, I recommend this book right away.
Dude, I'm not big on sci-fi books, but I mean, if it's a good book, I'll read it and see if I like it for sure.
And it's not huge. Trust me when I tell you, like, the magic is only like a secondary part of it. Like I think you'll like it.
Okay. Have you heard of the book Snow Crash?
Snow Crash, no.
What's Snow that? Crash? It's like, I was reading this one book, and or not a book, listen to this podcast, and this guy was saying it's like one of his most favorite sci-fi books. Mm-hmm. And I started reading it. It was pretty good so far, but it's called Snow Crash. I guess it's a really popular
I will have to sci-fi check that book.
I think it'd be something that you'd probably like.
Okay.
All right. I got a couple questions for you. Two more.
Okay.
Right. No.
Okay.
Three more.
Go. I don't mind.
what is Dice Throne?
Dude, Dice Throne is one of the best board games I've ever picked up. I like board games a lot. And one night, like 4 years ago, I was laying in bed on Kickstarter. And I'm not afraid to give something a try if it looks cool. So I saw this board game. And they were like, it's a mix between Yahtzee and a battle game. And I was like, all right, the art looks sick. So I'll drop $40. Who cares? So I did it. I paid the $40. 10 months later, I get shipped this box. And you, dice throne is you have a character, you have a character sheet, and then you have five dice. Anyone who's played Yahtzee can play dice throne. So you have a character, your character has abilities, your character can attack, and you're trying to beat the person in front of you who has a different character by rolling these dice exactly like you would in Yahtzee. So you have three rolls. If you get all sixes, that's your ultimate ability. You hit them really hard and it's easier to win. Dice Throne has been around for four. They've done season one, season two I got, and season three is coming out. I should actually be getting it within a week. I paid for it last year and it should actually be getting here within the next week or two, and I'm pumped.
How like, many I'm players gonna, can you play at one time?
You can play, so in the first two, you could do up to four people. You could do one-on-one, two-on-two, or every man for himself in four. And the next one I'm getting within, like I said, this next month is an adventure game where four of you go through, and instead of fighting each other, you're fighting like these neutral enemies that you do the same thing. You like, you land on a platform, you flip it over, it's an opponent, you do the regular battle thing, like one-on-one, and then you get items. So it's more interactive. It's like a dungeon crawler.
Yeah, it's like a role-playing game, kind
of? It can be, yeah. If you want, like, you get, because all of these characters are, like, there's a barbarian. It's like this big, tough guy. You could give it a voice if you want. you could do whatever you want, man.
So, yeah. Oh, shit. That sounds sick. We should have a Dice Throne night.
Dude, I used to do board game nights like crazy. Like if I could, I would show you my board game collection. It's in the corner back there. I've got like 20 board games.
Oh shit.
Yeah, we got a lot. I need a second shelf actually, because they're like all over the floor now.
Yeah, but throwing down.
I love it, man.
Me too, because pre-COVID, Doyle has like every board game you could think of. And we would have board game nights at his place all the time. Like, we played Pokemon, some kind of Pokemon board game. Yeah. That shit is badass.
Yes, I think I played it years ago, like 15.
But like the life version of Pokemon, or something along those lines, where you travel and you level up and all the other stuff. But
that sounds familiar and it sounds awesome. I have to talk to Doyle. Because we had to talk board games. I didn't know he liked that stuff.
Oh yeah, he's a board game master.
Once COVID's over, I need to like it's killing me not being able to have friends over and like do that stuff.
Yeah, because it's crazy.
Just how you let the steam off. Like, we have this game Werewolf, and the game is literally just lie to each other. That's it. You start fights over this game because you have a card in front of you and someone's the werewolf. You don't know who, and you're just trying to figure out who the werewolf is, and it's all you're doing is lying to each other. It's an amazing game.
That's sick. Yeah, there was a game like that we played. I forget what it was called, but basically there's two teams, and then there's a good team and a bad team, and then there's like one like spy or whatever, and then you're just kind of like you're trying to figure out who's the spy in the group, and like and you have to lie to each other basically the whole time. And it starts huge fights. Like, I can't believe you lied to me. I trusted you. It's crazy. It's so much fun.
I love games like that. Like, it's crazy because, like, people take it seriously. Like, people get going.
Yeah, because it's like, wow, if you lie to me that good in real life or in a game, what are you going to do to me in real life? I can't even trust you anymore.
Our coworker Katie, her husband, he's a real quiet dude. Like, he didn't really speak much. But once he got comfortable, he lies with the straightest face I have ever seen on a human being in my life.
That's like that quote. Scary. You got to watch out for those quiet guys.
It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing, though.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Pokemon or Digimon, if you had to choose between the two, Pokemon, Digimon.
Dude, I can't give you a straight answer because I grew up on both. I grew up on Pokemon more so only because Pokemon came out in like 97 in America. Digimon came out in like 99 in America. I grew up watching both TV shows. Pokemon, as you know, just skyrocketed, took over the world. Pokemon's literally like its own entity now. It's freaking multi-millions of dollars. Digimon didn't get a fair shake because it was seen as like the poor man's Pokemon.
Yeah, it's like a knockoff Pokemon trying to like steal its thunder.
Exactly. But to me, if you're telling me like judge both TV shows, Pokemon's just like a happy kid's adventure, and Digimon is like these kids who have something on the line. Like, if they fail, the world dies. like that.
Yeah, that's true. I never thought about that because I feel like Digimon was actually a show. If that makes sense. Like Pokemon was like, okay, we're going to take this popular game and make a show of it that kids are liking. You know, every episode, something happy happens and Ash wins. Digimon's like a TV show in the world of Digimon.
Yes. And like there's plot, there's enemies. Like, yeah, there's Team Rocket, but Team Rocket is just going to take all over the world and that's it. In Digimon, they're like, your family's going to die. And it's like, what? What? So for me, like this resurgence of Digimon with like the Digimon card game and like the shows and the movies is making me so happy just because I feel like it's getting the attention it probably should have deserved early on. I love both. Like I really do love both. If I had to pick one just because Pokemon has everything, it has the games, it has all that stuff, I would probably pick it, but I would hate having to pick it, if that makes sense.
You have to. The world's ending. Who do you choose? Yeah. Who do you choose?
Exactly. Yeah. Pokemon, fine.
Oh, God. All right. Last question. So you said you're into photography. Are you still into photography? And how did you get into photography and drones and all that stuff?
So I always loved creating stuff. Like I just like making stuff. I like finding beauty and stuff. And it started with movies. Because like I said before, I'm obsessed with movies, video games, TV shows, etc. I always liked movies, and then I wanted to be an actor growing up. So in college, I wanted to be an actor, and I actually got to be like in the background of a movie. So that was cool. I was like an on-screen extra or background actor, if they want to call it. That's what they call them now. So I really, after that, I got huge into the background aspect of stuff. So I started taking film courses in college. I took like way too many. I took like 5 film courses. And then after that, when I moved down here to Florida, Alyssa and I got a digital camera first, and then Alyssa got one like a few months after. So we just started taking pictures. One of my friends was huge into photography, so he taught me the basics. And then once I like something, I just learn everything about it. So I just dove head first. I learned everything about settings, lighting, all this stuff. I also wanted to do videography. I actually like videography more because I feel like, and you could tell amazing stories with photography. You could take a beautiful picture and people can interpret it in different ways. But with videography, you can actually give that story and give what your interpretation was. So I wanted to do more of that. It's just when you're starting off and you have nothing, it's hard to do that by yourself. So that's why I've never really gotten to dive headfirst into it. And that's kind of what I want to do with the Twitch stuff too, is like, I want to tell stories. I just have to get myself into the situation and learn this stuff to tell those stories. Cause I actually have a book of like ideas of like pictures and shorts that I could make. Like I collect these things all the time. Like I'm constantly thinking of new stuff. It's just doing it is the hard part. Like that's just really hard.
What's like the latest project you're working on right now?
Oh God. So I wanted to do a short about a kid who, so everyone, there's this joke about gamer rage. Like you've seen pictures of like dudes like punching their TV because they lose in 2K or something that's like real. That. Ooh. So I wanted to do a short with like this kid or me, not a kid, a person, because adults play video games. So a person, this person playing a video game, and like all of these things are tempting him to get pissed off. And then on the side, like I would double myself just like wearing like all red, and I would be like the rage, but embodied, just like tempting this dude. So then instead it goes beyond playing games. Like he's doing everything. Everyday activities like driving and getting stuck in traffic, and then rage is in the back seat, just like
egging like him on. Like the rage version of himself, like the on the shoulder type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like sitting in the back seat, just egging him on, just like, come on, dude, you know you want to lose your cool. Or like he's in the supermarket and like people are pissing him off, and he's just trying to like be fine, and rage is just there.
That sounds like a TikTok or something.
Yeah, and it could be. It's just. Like I have these things set up, and then my issue is I make my ideas too big, and then by the time I have the idea finished, it's too big for me to achieve. I have to just start small and nip away at it. But that was like the latest good idea I had. Like, I always have ideas and I'm like, nah, that's trash. But that was like the latest one that I feel like people would actually enjoy.
Yeah, that'd be like a funny Instagram video or TikTok or something, if you could figure out a way to maybe edit it to where it's kind of quick, if it could fit like a short TikTok or whatever. But yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's one that I kind of want to work on.
There you go. All right, last bonus question. Since you say you like movies, have you seen Tenet?
Not the
Christopher Nolan movie?
I need to. Because in the last couple of, you're like the third person in 3 days to bring up Tenet. Because I've been talking about Inception, I've been talking about Batman, like I keep hearing about Tenet, and I need to watch it because it sounds like something I would sit and have a field day with. Because when I watch movies now, like people watch movies and they're like, oh, that was awesome. I watch movies and I'm like, yo, why'd he pick that camera angle? Yo, that lighting, like, oh shit. Like, how did he get those scenes cut together? And then I'm thinking back and I'm like, was that a continuous shot? Like, did he do this? Did he do that? Like, yeah. I'm thinking about the dudes on the camera, and Tenet sounds like a movie that I would lose my mind.
Yeah, with. The filmography is nuts. The movie's so crazy. And I saw it when it came out in theaters.
Yeah.
I was like one of the only people in the theater watching it. But it was after watching it, I'm like, I need to watch this movie a second time to get it because it's so confusing.
Yeah,
and it's like forward and backwards. It's like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like, I need to watch this a second time to really get a good hold of what actually happened. Yeah. And now that it's out on streaming services, I'm gonna rent it and then watch it again because it's good, but it's almost too good. If it makes like it's too smart. It's too smart for its own good. Like Christopher Nolan like was super high or something to make this movie, and I need to watch it like 2-3 times to really figure out what actually happened.
And I love those movies because those movies give people issues to start with. But then when you watch it back, you're going to be like, he was leading us to this. Like, you're going to start seeing stuff in the background and you're going to be like, he alluded to this like 10 times and I just didn't know what to look for. You didn't get it,
yeah.
And I love that. Like, the name of the one, to go back to that book real quick, just one small thing. In book two, not even in book one, in book two, the main character takes this girl he's in love with to a garden and he shows her this flower because in book one they were kids at the time and she said what flower would represent me. He said this flower. In book two, they're like 3 years older. He takes her to a field, shows her the flower for the first time, and she's like, oh my god, this is incredible. And he tells her the story of the flower. Now if you go back and read the book, within the first like 10 pages he describes, because the book goes back in time, so this is 10 years later.
I was gonna say, had it in the second book, he's in the beginning.
So this is when he's younger. So the very very beginning of book one, he's 10 years older, and they describe an inn he owns, and in front of the inn he has a row of these flowers that don't grow in this land. So that means he went, found this particular flower that reminded him of a girl he loves, and built and planted that in front of his inn, and they're growing somewhere that they shouldn't be growing. And you don't realize that until you go back and you read book one and two, figure out the flower, and then he brings up that flower at the very beginning of the book. And I was it's wild.
He like fell to the ground like, what the fuck, that just happened.
I heard that line and I was like, yo, that, I couldn't believe it. It was crazy.
That's a good author right there.
Yo, he is one of the best authors I've ever read. But that's what Christopher Nolan is to movies, though. Like, I love movies where you go back, you're like, that was a great movie, and then you see that they were just pointing you in that direction the whole time. You just didn't know what to look for.
Yeah, and this movie is definitely one of those, for sure. It's one of those where you're like, okay, I need to watch this again, because I liked it. It's a good movie, like, watching it-wise. But then it was so confusing, I almost didn't like it because it's too smart. It was like Inception on steroids. Like, Inception is good and smart, but this was like way, way more than that.
And the thing is, a movie like that could get so good that it becomes bad. Like, it could be like, it's like, all right, this is good, this is good, this is good. All right, this is too much, and now I don't like it.
Yeah.
So hopefully it doesn't cross that line.
Second viewing will seal the deal if it's good or bad. If everything like comes together the second time, like, oh shit, this is like one of the greatest of all time.
And it's tough because that, like, it can make it a bad movie. Like, no one would fault you for saying your opinion I didn't like the movie because it went too deep. Like, if that's the case, then it just, it missed its mark.
just one of those movies. Yeah, but I would recommend it. Definitely watch it as soon as you can. It's long too. It's like 3 hours, I think. Two and a half. I don't know.
Damn, a 3 hour movie that like twists your mind like that, that's hard.
It'll twist your mind in like 8 different places. That's even possible. But yeah, I definitely recommend it, but definitely be prepared to watch it twice.
For okay. Sure. I'm fine. I've watched worse, longer movies. So
yeah, so it's 2.5 hours, so you should be fine.
Oh, that's manageable.
You're good. That's good. Yeah. All right, Tyler. I appreciate you coming on, man. That was fun.
Thanks, dude. Anytime, let me know if you ever want to do it again. I got more to say.
And then last thing, how can people find you on social media?
Ooh, okay. So I am on Instagram at Instagram, William D. Ness. That's my gaming name. Twitch is William D. Ness, all one word. That's William, letter D, N-E-S-S. Twitter is William D. Ness as well. And yeah, those are the three things I care about. YouTube also, William D. Ness. Everything's William D. Ness.
All right, man. Sounds good. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one, man.
See you, Doug.
See you.